I'm struck by the irony, the great irony in this gospel reading today. Our Lord is before Pontius Pilate being basically interrogated. And Pontius Pilate thinks that he's the one with power. He's the one with authority, that he has authority over our Lord. He said, you know, he didn't realize, though, that his very existence, the fact that Pontius Pilate existed at all, the fact that any of us exist at all, is because of our Lord. As we say in the Creed, through him all things were made. So Pilate is standing there thinking he has the authority because he's the Roman procreator. He's the Roman authority. I always mix up that word. He's the Roman authority. He's the one who is there with all the power and might of the Roman Empire. And there's this man that people say is a king. Oh, Pontius Pilate's the one with authority. He doesn't realize that our Lord gave up his authority as the one through whom all things were created to be placed under Pontius Pilate's authority. He allowed himself to be placed under Pilate's authority. That's the great irony of this, that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords allowed himself to go underneath a Roman functionary, a Roman governor. Today is the feast, the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, or more commonly known as Christ the King. What does it mean for us to say that Jesus is a king? I mean, this is a concept we don't quite understand, I don't think, here in the United States, because we haven't had a king for over 220 years, if not more than that, 230 years or something like that. You know, we did away with that when we had our Revolutionary War. We know that our Lord Jesus came to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, that was the major part of his ministry before his death and his resurrection, was to proclaim this coming of the kingdom. It was so important that when Blessed John Paul II gave us the luminous mysteries, he named the third one the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. That's how important this is in our Lord's life. And through this interrogation conversation with Pontius Pilate, our Lord reveals to us his kingship, that he is the king of heaven and earth, of all that exists, of all the universe. Now, it's not an earthly kingdom as we understand it. He doesn't have a castle somewhere. He doesn't have an army, you know, a physical army raised. And he doesn't have a chunk of land he's responsible for. Because again, all creation is his. When we were baptized into that kingdom. Yes, baptism frees us from sin. It makes us a member of the body of Christ here on church. But most importantly, it makes us part of the kingdom of heaven, brings us into this kingdom. As St. John in the book of Revelation said in the second reading, we have been made into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father. We are now part of that kingdom. Well, as members of this kingdom through our baptism, we are called to give our allegiance to our Lord. We are called to serve him above all things. We need to place our Lord in his desire over the things of earth and the concerns of the world, which are so easy to fall into. But eventually these things of the world will pass away. They'll be no more. But as we see in the first reading, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The things of God must be a priority in this life because the things of this life will end, but the things of God will never end. The problem runs into when the things of earth conflict with the things of heaven, especially when those who are in authority here on earth conflict with the truth revealed by God, when they enact laws and regulations that are contrary to God's commands. Recently, I watched the movie For Greater Glory. It came out about oh, about a year ago, maybe somewhere in there. Wonderful movie, excellent movie. It's a movie about 1920s Mexico when the secular government outlawed any public worship whatsoever. They put strict restrictions on the church. Any priest or religious or bishop who had come into Mexico as a missionary from another country were exiled. They were sent out of the country. They were kicked out, basically. Any priest who remained and who was doing public worship, the Mass, Mexico was 95% Catholic and was more so at that time, they were executed. They were killed for disobeying the government rules, government laws. Eventually, a group called the Cristeros were raised up. A revolutionary group was raised up that fought the government and forced them to overturn the anti-Christian, anti-Catholic laws, once again allowing public worship and allowing priests to come back into the country as missionaries. We should be thankful here in our country we don't have to deal with this. We don't have these issues going on. But there are still laws and regulations which are passed in this country which can have that same effect, can be contrary to God's law. A couple of examples would be the Health and Human Services mandate that require everyone to provide contraception and abortion coverage in their insurance, whether they believe that that's right or not. They still have to provide that coverage. Or the push now for this same-sex so-called marriage, you know, where those who are of homosexual persuasion can be married to someone of the same sex. They aren't forcing churches to do it now, but it's likely that would happen. When these laws and regulations are passed, there's two things we need to do. First thing we need to do is we need to refuse to follow them. We cannot submit to laws which are contrary to God's law. We have a greater kingdom than this earthly kingdom to follow. But we also have to work in the public square to overturn these laws, to force the government to remove these laws so we are no longer forced to violate our consciences and no longer forced to violate God's law. Because our primary allegiance is with Christ. I, like many of you, love this country. I'm proud to have been raised and to live in the United States. I think it's a great country. But we need to say that we are Catholic first and American second. Not Americans first and Catholic second. When we do that, when we have that mindset, then we can join the Mexican Cristeros in boldly proclaiming, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King.